You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Hour number two of the program here on a Friday with Faxon and John on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are open. Adams Co-Roofing text line is open. Going to talk a little more Ole Miss, Georgia, then take some phone calls and get to some Clemson discourse. Texter gets in and says, UGA faces the same thing Clemson does. UGA lost to a team with a real quarterback. Stockton isn't going to win a national championship. Clemson should see that too. Quarterback matters. If you don't have one, you will not win the whole thing. In all honesty, I don't really agree with you, 062. J.J. McCarthy is the worst quarterback that's ever gone through the college football playoff, and Michigan won it 2 years ago. You can win it with a game manager if your infrastructure is better around you. And then also, like, respectfully, what more did you want from Gunner yesterday? I know he didn't play perfect, but he was responsible for all three of the touchdowns he put on the board. To further that point, obviously outside of the whole fumble return, you put up 34 in a college football playoff game, and Ole Miss put up 20 in the fourth quarter of a college football playoff game. Like, I'm not saying Gunner played perfect by any means, but I think he played well enough to win yesterday. And any college football playoff game that you put up 34 points in when you're Georgia, your calling card needs to be on your defense. You got 40 hung on you. That is a bigger issue than anything related to your offense, in my opinion. So I don't think it was perfect. I think you can criticize Bobo. I think you can criticize some things with Gunner. I think you can criticize some things with Kirby in the run game. But my main takeaway from a game that you give up 39 points is never going to be pointing the finger at the quarterback on the other side. That's just me personally. I think Gunner Stockton is good enough to win a national championship, especially if you just give the guy a real team around him. And I thought he played about as well as you can anticipate throughout the course of the season. As a Clemson fan, I would take Gunner Stockton on my football team right now for next year with no hesitation. So I don't think he's some world beater, but I think he's good enough to win. John, your thoughts?
I agree with you. No, you did not lose this game because of Gunner Stockton. If anything, he gave you a chance to win this game. It was your defense, and it was, like we said in the previous hour, Kirby Smart got out-coached by Pete Golding.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart and his defense let you down. And it looked like at times in the peak Saban-Bama years, which, listen, this Georgia team wasn't like one of those peak Saban-Bama teams, so let's not get it confused there. But you can have the perfect game plan all you want to, but when the quarterback is mobile and he does that, it's on the defense, man. It's on the defense. If you were that good and you were that talented, you should be able to stop a D2 transfer from Michigan.
Yeah, that
they
is
weren't
very
good
true.
Enough last night. The defense wasn't good enough. In the second half of that game, especially in the fourth quarter, I think Georgia thought they already had it in the bag. And that's on Kirby. That's on this coaching staff.
Texter gets in and says Stockton is the college football version of Hurts going pro and something other than sports. I mean, I don't think it's about, there's a difference between being a good college quarterback and being a good pro quarterback. I don't think Trinidad Chambliss is going to be a good pro quarterback, but he's a great college quarterback. And also, like, I look at the season from Gunner, and again, I think Gunner is like one of the primary, if not the primary reason that you even made the college football playoffs. So I'm a little shocked to see some slander for Stockton on the Adams Co-Roofing text line. I think you upgraded from Beck, especially with what the system and what Bobo does. I think he provided you something in the designed run game. And Gunner goes out for the year with 24 TDs through the air to 5 picks, almost 3,000 yards passing on the ground, contributed almost 500 yards, and also scored an additional 10 touchdowns. Lost a couple fumbles, but I mean, that's to be expected. I think you're looking at a season for Gunner where it was like 34 total touchdowns to 8 total turnovers, and they lost 2 games by a combined, 8 points? And in those games that they lost, they put up 34 in one of them, and they put up 21 in the other one, where Stockton put 2 balls on the money to wide-open players in the second half, and they both dropped game-winning touchdowns. So I don't know. Maybe I just see this differently than some UGA fans, but I know the guy wasn't perfect, and I don't think he played like a world beater in any of the last 3 games that he played in by any means, but I don't think you have a quarterback issue in Athens if that's what's being insinuated. I think Gunner's good enough to win, and I think he's your guy next year.
Based on the the history of some of these texters, we're not actually getting Georgia fans that are coming out here and saying this. It's not Georgia fans. People of other fan bases are the ones saying that Gunnar Stockton isn't good enough.
I think Gunnar's good enough.
I do as well.
I think he's tough. He's one of the toughest players I've ever seen at college football.
That hit he took in that game where it looked like NFL Blitz 2000?
Yeah.
How many quarterbacks in the country are getting up after that?
He took that big one last year in the SEC championship game, too, where he got his helmet smacked off after coming in for Beck and got right back up. And Texter gets him with a good point. Gunnar also led Georgia in rushing TDs at the school that produced Herschel Walker and Nick Chubb. Bingo. So, I mean, defense has to be better. Texter says Faxon's dog pride is showing through. I'm calling out their head coach. That's the opposite of dog pride. Their head coach wasn't good enough last night. He got smoked by a guy in his second game. And their defense wasn't good enough. You want to point the finger at somebody? Everybody likes to blame Bobo. Everybody likes to blame the quarterback. Point the finger at Kirby and Glenn Schumann. That's where your loss is at last night. Because your defense gave up 39 points in a college football playoff game. And your defense gave up 20 in the fourth quarter of a college football playoff game. Let's get Delvin and Gervonta in here before we shift gears to Clemson. Delvin, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in.
First of all, is the Ole Miss Georgia game over yet? They still got 1 second on the clock last time I checked.
Yeah, what was that madness about at the end of the game? That was so weird.
Yeah, I just wanted to still, So, man, what a crazy playoffs, man. You know what this means? If the SEC don't win the national championship, you know what's going to happen? They're going to try to change the playoff rules so they get by, like, all 16 of their teams in there and sure as they win the national championship. You know that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC did not deserve a team that they had in Alabama. It's ridiculous that they got in, and they're going to continue to push biases for this league. But the reality is that the Big Ten's been better for 3 years now, and it's continuing to widen the gap of being better and showcasing why each and every day. I think the Big Ten has three or four powerhouse programs for the foreseeable future, and I'm expecting Michigan with Whittingham to be right back in the fray next year for college football playoff contention. Delvin?
Yeah, and as far as Clemson goes, you know, it looks like it's going to be Chad Morris. If they decide to go their way, you know, we just about to pull from, you know, I know a lot of people hate that, so you go back to Pat, but a lot of those same people been wanting Joe Scott. That'd be the same thing, in my opinion, if you look at that. But at least you have an identity. You know you're going to run an offense. The key is going to be quarterback. I don't know if they're going to get a quarterback in the portal. They've been linked to Aiden Childs and DJ Lagway, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what transpires, Delvin. Appreciate the phone call, and thank you for checking in, brother. Yes, sir. Happy New Year. I would say as of right now, things are trending towards Chad Morris being the hire as Clemson's offensive coordinator, but we obviously don't have an official report on that, and we'll wait to break that news whenever it comes across my desk. And I also do, I will say, like, if they're delaying it, there's a reason that they're delaying it, and maybe there's another candidate that's in the mix that they're waiting for things to play out for. But everything that I've heard and has been indicated in my world would say that Chad is likely the guy, but it's not official yet. So until it's official, it's hard to speculate what Clemson's offense is going to look like next year. I also think that I would be a lot more on board with a Chad Morris hire than the majority of Clemson fans, just because I think there's probably some overvaluing of the Clemson offensive coordinator job going on within the fan base. Which might be a take that's a little bit spicy and what people don't want to hear, but I think it might be what people need to hear right now. I mean, Dabo's fired two offensive coordinators in the last 4 years. You're not exactly getting people lining up to bang down the door and come coach for Clemson when you fired three coordinators in totality and two offensive coordinators in the last four seasons of college football. One of the offensive coordinators was a one and done. You have no quarterback on your roster. The rest of your roster, I would say, is up in the air right now in relation to the transfer portal, as is everyone's as of right now. And you had a bad offensive line this year and lost four starters. So it's not, you're not walking into the 2016 Clemson team is what I'm trying to get at with the Clemson offensive coordinator job. So I just think that some fans might be overvaluing the current value in 2026 of that job. It's not to say it's a bad job. It's not to say that people won't take it, right? But Chad Morris provides a level of comfort and a level of identity, as Delvin said, while also not having to break the bank and go take somebody else's coach and get involved with that. And then a lot of people are also going to probably want to bring some positional coaches with them. And I'm not firing Tyler Grisham with the great recruiting class he's brought in for a third consecutive year. I'm not firing Matt Luke with six incoming freshmen. I'll tell you that right now. I'm not parting ways with either of those guys with the way that they've recruited and the way that they've developed. So I don't know. I think there's just a lot more that goes into this than many may see, and people might just need to be a little bit more realistic about what this job actually entails right now. You don't have a quarterback. That Correct. Is not attractive when you don't have a quarterback. It just
Correct.
Isn't.
Correct. This is an offense that is in flux, and quite frankly, the the more I think about it, would it be my first choice? Not necessarily, but I can understand the reason and the logic behind it. I totally can. When Coach Sweeney has said, I need to get back to my roots, I need to trust my instincts, and those instincts are what got us to, you know, we don't have to list the resume, but we know the resume, then I'm more okay with it. I never felt like Garrett Riley's offense had an identity. For whatever reason, we have too much on our plate right now to dissect the why. It happened. I want a coach who will command a room. I want a coach who will make people fall in line and listen and not... I mean, quite frankly, we watched the Pinstripe Bowl, and I never saw Garrett Riley talk to anybody other than his call sheet. I would like to see a different mentality and a different approach there. I know that Chad Morris, based on our typical Wednesday guest who played for him, Landon Walker, that he will get in your face. He will challenge you. That is the opposite of what you've had. I'm here with it. I'm fine with the hire. It's a hire that hasn't been made yet.
Yes.
So let's calm down, some of us out there who believe that a torch is being applied to the program right now. There's when it becomes official, we can discuss, you know, the official part of it. But I don't have beef with it right now. Because also I don't know the roster. I don't know who the players are. The portal's been open for what, 10 hours officially? I'm going to choose to be optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to completely destroy something before it ever occurs. Especially if it's not even official. Here we take a deep breath and relax.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It is. Let's get Gervonta in here, 654 Roar. Gervonta, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year. Go Tigers to all the Tiger fans around Tiger Nation. Just want to make a comment about Georgia. You know, you made a comment. Somebody made a comment about Kirby got out coached. You're 100% correct. But the thing a lot of people failing to realize is how would have Gunnar Stockton looked in a Todd Monken offense?
That's actually a pretty good point.
I know Bobo recruited him. He was at South Carolina. They got a relationship from Raven County and all that way back. But how would he have looked in a Todd Monken offense? Also, Georgia defense has not been the same without Dan Lanning. So I think a lot of times, we're giving Kirby a lot of praise. Don't get me wrong, he's winning games. But I think in those big games, when those key adjustments were made years ago, you had better coordinators around that made those adjustments. I think a lot of times people forget that. So I'll take the comments off the air and go Tigers.
Appreciate you checking in, Gervonta. 654 Roar is the number if you would like to check in. Yeah, I think those are some fair points from Gervonta. I really wonder if Monken would have stayed, what the last couple of years for Georgia football would have looked like. I mean, again, I think Bobo has done a better job than given credit for from a general standpoint. But ultimately, I'm not in the camp that, you know, Monken wouldn't be a significant upgrade and that he wasn't able to cultivate an identity, but it just is what it is. Let's get Bill and Taylor's in here. 654 Roar is the number. Bill, good to hear from you.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good.
Good. Just got a question about the game last night with Georgia. Did it appear to you at the end of the game that they were trying to give Georgia the game? They missed a couple of critical penalties, one being a face mask that could have ended the game with Ole Miss having the ball. And then when Georgia got the ball back, a couple of questionable pass interferences calls. So I'd like to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that the officiating was pretty pro-Georgia last night, and I think if you want me to be honest with you, the league benefits a lot more from a Kirby Smart coach team and a brand like Georgia going to the semifinals with the money that that's going to bring in than a smaller fry like Ole Miss. So I wasn't really surprised by it, Bill, because I think the SEC tries to, you know, protect their big brands.
Yes, sounds like it. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
Thank y'all.
Yeah, appreciate you checking in. That's not really surprising. And then they also, like, again, officiating's in a horrible state. I think we brought that up pretty much ad nauseum. I don't know if there's a lot of intent behind some of these officiating mistakes at times. I'm not like the tinfoil hat guy as much as some other people are, but yeah, they missed calls on both ends in pretty much every game. I thought Texas Tech was literally massacring Oregon's defensive line and just didn't get called for holding. The 49ers still haven't been called for holding in the NFL. That's my favorite running bit that I've got with my friends right now. But yeah, no, in all seriousness, officiating's in a really bad spot in college football, and it needs to be fixed. You need to hire people that are full-time employees to do this thing for college football with the amount of money that's involved now, because they don't need to be dictating games. But it ultimately didn't matter because Ole Miss got the win, and Trinidad Chambliss balled out. Texter gets in and says, I was super against Morris, but you're right, Vax, and Clemson OC isn't super attractive right now. Morris might make the most sense. Yeah, I just think that people that are expecting Clemson to go have their hand-picked offensive coordinator are kind of missing the point and missing the reality. I don't know how many people are signing up to take the job without a quarterback on the roster. Let's take a quick break here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. We'll talk a little bit more portal on the other side. I've got some quarterback names to throw at the wall. I've also got some other offensive coordinator names if Morris isn't the hire that we can get to as far as consideration goes. And then we'll shift gears to NFL at some point as well with Faxon and John.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call. DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Some sandwiches are forgettable. This one, it's unforgettable. Meet the Ultimate Italian, a flavor-packed masterpiece with bacon, parmesan, salami, capicola, and ham, all toasted to perfection. Every bite, pure magic. When a sandwich is this good, you don't just eat it, you talk about it. Try the Ultimate Italian, now toasted, only at Jimmy John's.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Leaning trees or branches hanging too close to your home? Even a small shift could mean big trouble when storms hit. At Franklin Tree Service, they believe in taking a proactive approach. Their expert team can assess your trees, remove any potential hazards, and prevent future damage before it's too late. Whether it's removing leaning trees, trimming overhanging limbs, or thinning out your yard, Franklin Tree Service keeps your property safe year-round. Fully insured and committed to top-quality work. Call today, 864-947-9065.
Guys, thanks for helping me carry my Christmas tree.
Zoe, this thing weighs a ton.
Drewski, live with your legs, man.
Santa, did you get my letter?
He's talking to you, Bridges.
I'm not that.
Of course he did, right, Santa?
You know, my elf Drewski here, he handles the nice list.
An elf? I'm 6'3". What everyone wants is iPhone 17. And at T-Mobile, you can get it on them. That center stage front camera is amazing for group selfies. Right, Mrs. Claus?
I'm Mrs. Claus's much younger sister. And at T-Mobile, there's no trade-in needed when you switch. So you can keep your old phone.
Or give it as a gift.
And the best part? You can make the switch to T-Mobile from your phone in just 15 minutes.
Guys, my side of the tree is slipping.
Timber!
The holidays are better at T-Mobile. Switch in just 15 minutes and get iPhone 17 on us with no trade-in needed.
With 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. Finance agreement, 256 gigs, $830. Eligible port in a new line, $100 plus a month plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees required. Check out in 15 minutes or less per line. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
If it matters, we're talking about it.
Like it matters?
Oh, it matters.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Hour two of Facts on Sports continues. Before we get back into the college football playoff, the transfer portal, the future of Clemson's offense, and more, I want to tell you about Four Men on Exchange in downtown Pendleton, the new men's store right there at 102 Exchange Street. Gifts, garments, and gear, that is what Four Men on Exchange is about. Robert and Dan Kraft, the father-son duo, heading up the store there. They are the next-door location from Newtique Boutique. They're now home to the Clemson Sock Shop. And a great place where you can get custom leather-made goods made locally in Pendleton. And I got to say, I was the recipient of a new Clemson shirt for Christmas from Four Men on Exchange. It has now climbed the power rankings to the number one item I have in the closet to wear with a Clemson apparel on it. It is my favorite. It is high quality. And they have tons and tons of unique Clemson gear that you can only get there at Four Men on Exchange. So go by and see him. Start off the new year right. Treat yourself to some new Clemson apparel. You know, Robert, huge Buffalo Bills fan. They got some NFL stuff in there. If you want to go load up for the playoffs, or if you're going to be in my case and want to watch other teams participate in the NFL playoffs, go by and see him. Four Men on Exchange, downtown Pendleton, or, of course, give him a follow on Facebook or on Instagram.
Yeah, thank you for that, John. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in here with Bexon and John on the Roar. About an hour and a half left in the program as we're talking Clemson football, potential OC, transfer portal, etc. Tigers currently have a ton of players that have entered the transfer portal and potentially more to come as well. Going to get to a ton of texts. Texter says, could Matt Luke not be the coordinator? He's a head coach and could recruit at a top five level. They will run the ball for sure. I mean, I think that Richardson and Luke are probably in consideration in what the search looks like right now, but I don't think with the way that the internal promotions have gone in the last 5 years that that's the smartest move for this program right now, in all honesty.
I don't think that he would be bad at the job, but last year the offensive line underperformed. Last year the offensive line did not do what we thought they were capable of doing. I would need Matt Luke to focus on making the offensive line in 2026 the best unit possible. It's not that I don't think that he could do the job, but right now I think it is more important that he gets that unit up front figured out.
Yeah, I agree.
And not take time to play call. I mean, like I said, he knows so much more ball than we will ever know. And I think he could do the job. I want to make sure that we're clear. I agree with you. Like, I think he and Richardson together, that could be a good co-OC duo like we used to have here in the upstate. But right now, I need him coaching the big boys up front.
Yeah.
100% of his attention there.
You got six incoming freshmen that you're going to have to mold because I think two or three of them are going to have to play. Unless you're going to the portal for O-line. And at that point, you'd have to have some departures from a numbers perspective. So Matt Luke needs to be the O-line coach, and Matt Luke needs to do a good job of being the O-line coach, which I fully anticipate him to continue to do because he's one of the best in the country, in my opinion. And your O-line has to get better. Like, that's another big part of this is that your O-line has to get better. Everybody wants to blame the quarterback. Everybody wants to blame Garrett. Everybody wants to blame Dabo, whatever it is. You can't win if you don't win up front. And Clemson didn't win up front consistently enough this year to win football games consistently. And that's the reality.
Look at the four teams we have left in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Lines of scrimmage.
Indiana, elite O-line. Oregon, elite O-line. Ole Miss, good O-line with special quarterback. And then you look at Miami, probably the best of the bunch with the O-line. You have three of the top five offensive lines in the country, and then another top 20 offensive line with the playmaker quarterback. That's where you're at. It's so, right there in front of you.
Which is
why I groaned about it the whole year.
Right, yeah.
You can't win like that.
It matters. It matters. So, yeah, it's not that I don't think he could do it. I need his 100% attention being on getting this offensive line to look more like what we saw over the last couple days in the playoff than what we saw in the 25 season in Clemson.
Yes. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. A couple texters are getting in on the offensive coordinator front asking for like other names if the hire isn't Chad Morris. Todd Monken and Cade Bell would be the only other two names that I think are realistic right now. And again, I just don't know how many people are signing up to take a job without a quarterback. Or in the Monken case, like why I think that that's not, I wouldn't say not super realistic, but he left college for a reason. He would be coming back to college after the portal has already opened. We don't know how much say he would have in constructing the roster. You know, it's not to say that he wouldn't have any. Obviously, I would think that the offensive coordinator would be a part of that decision-making. But
sure.
There's just so much unknown right now with the state of Clemson's football program, to be candid. And I don't think that that's a super attractive job. I just don't.
It's certainly not the most attractive one in the country. And I do think that if Monken wanted to return to college, I think this would be a setup that would work for him, because we have already seen Coach Sweeney is not making Tom Allen, you know, be at high school games every Friday night. I know that was one of the big issues that Monken had. You know, now with the changing in the rules, you can kind of send a lot of different people out on the road recruiting. Would that be more advantageous? Maybe. But right now, he has to focus on eliminating Mike Tomlin from the playoffs on Sunday. That's his number one goal right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I'm not surprised that if he is of somebody who would have any interest, that, well, he's busy. Texture just got in and say, well, how about Will Muschamp? As an offensive coordinator, gosh, no, I would never want him anywhere near an offense, but he has also just agreed to a job to be the defensive coordinator at Texas.
Yes.
And that job has a lot of money associated with it.
I'm looking at the Clemson roster for next year and how things are starting to shape up. And just want to talk some portal departures here. 654 Roar is the number if you wanted to check in. I'm running through like what the last starting lineup of this season looked like. And I'm starting to just like cross off a lot of players. Clemson has a lot of openings in the transfer portal that they're going to have to fill at key positions. Starting quarterback Cade Klubnik, gone. Starting running back Adam Randall, gone. Wide receivers, Antonio Williams is gone. You know, Tristan Smith, if he doesn't get that hardship waiver, is likely to be gone. I would keep your eye on Tyler Brown as a potential portal candidate. If you want me to be completely honest with my evaluation on Tyler Brown, I don't really see what the point of having him here next year is. I think you have, if you are able to retain TJ Moore and Bryant Wesco Jr., I think Burrows and Sellers are better day one than Tyler Brown's ever been in his life. And also for me personally, I would love to see an increased utilization from whoever is the new offensive coordinator of lining up TJ Moore and Bryant Wesco Jr. in the slot. The great teams in the country, they mismatch hunt, and they pick on linebackers with slot receivers. And that's not something Clemson has done anywhere near enough in the last couple of years, in my opinion. And I think that TJ and Wesco both have a diverse enough route tree to where they would be able to line up in the slot and be super effective. So I think you have four dudes with the two freshmen that are incoming that are already better than Tyler Brown. And I think it would make sense for both parties for him to find a new home for next year. Again, this is my opinion. Doesn't mean it's fact or the word of law or that he's going to enter the portal. Josh Sapp is already entered the portal. Again, think that makes sense for both parties. Think he was the fourth best tight end on your roster this year and don't really understand why he was playing, but best of luck at your next destination. Bentancur and Brooking are going to be running the show next year. Up in the air on OPH and what his future looks like. You look at the offensive line, Lee gone, Linthicum gone, Blake Miller gone. You know, a lot of these guys from your depth are Parks also going to be gone. Walker Parks gone. You're going to have to backfill this roster with offensive linemen, and you have with six that are incoming as freshmen, but you're going to be relying on these freshmen to contribute. I mean, you would like to think that Braden Jacobs is going to come back from the injury healthy and be ready to take over a starting spot. I think that locks down one spot for you. I wasn't overly impressed with what either Sadler or Sewell gave you throughout the course of the season. I thought both of those guys were weak links respectively. Pennington might come back, but we haven't seen anything throughout the course of his career that would indicate that he's ready to contribute at a starting level for a P4. I like Gavin Blanchard. I think Gavin Blanchard could be a good player. We haven't seen it. So, like,
I think he'll be in the mix for the center job.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the mix for the center job as well.
Some other guys, yeah. But Elijah Thurman, you know, he's a guy, he was banged up from the start of camp. Never got a full shake of him this season. And we saw him as a true freshman before the injuries at Pitt, I believe, is where he got hurt in the 24 season. Good player. Yeah, there's some stuff to work with there, but you got to go out and get somebody. You got to get some pieces. And these freshmen, that's why you signed six of them.
You hope that two are ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you got to hope that two are ready to play. I'm looking at the D-line now with portal entries in NFL. You're losing three of your four starters in Peter Woods, T.J. Parker, and Demonte Capehart due to eligibility. You are slated back to bring back Will Helton, Jaheim Lawson, which is going to help you a lot off your edge. Stephylin Green hit the portal last night. Thinking he's Texas A&M bound based on what the rumor mill has indicated the last couple of weeks. And I think that's a pretty big loss, which makes the retention of Vic Burley that much more important, which makes the development of a Heaven Brown Shuler, the development of a Champ Thompson that much more important. Caden Story has departed, and he's going to the transfer portal. The point of this exercise is to showcase how much Clemson needs. And to be honest, again, I don't think that this is a bad thing that you are having this amount of exodus from the roster. This football team went 7-6 and wasn't a good football team. So it's like, you're not losing the Power Rangers in their prime off of this team, or Deshaun Watson, or Travis Etienne, or T. Higgins. Like, let's be realistic with what this looks like. This might not be the worst thing in the world to be forced to use the portal, if we're just being completely honest with ourselves here in relation to what the best thing for this program going forward is. I like the ability to have open spots and flexibility to go into the transfer portal and be able to get veteran and seasoned players that can help this team win football games immediately. And Texter got in with something about the crock pot. I'm not over the moon about the crock pot with the way that the development has looked in the last couple of years. I think some of these guys are going to pop, and I think some of these guys are going to develop, but I would take a 23-year-old grown man with 4 years of college experience over an incoming freshman 10 times out of 10. It's the Rick Pitino clause in basketball. It's the Brad Brownell clause, if we're being honest with ourselves in basketball. Go get me grown men that have proven they can play at this level for 4 years, then I'm not going to have to get up to speed from an intelligence standpoint and coach through their high school to college translation. It's not to say that all freshmen aren't worth taking, but if I were the head of the program, I would be trimming my freshman class year in year and prioritizing quality over quantity going forward and then looking in the portal for grown men that can help me win. That's where I'm at. That's the state of collegiate athletics right now, and that's what you're going to have to do if you want to be competitive for championships.
You have to have a healthy balance of both.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. For guys who did not see the field, guys that did not help contribute to a team that went 7-6, good luck elsewhere. Have fun elsewhere. I'm not going to miss you. You know, that's fine. I don't, and it doesn't matter about they weren't all in, like, or any of that type of stuff. Like, that's just, that's the nature of the sport now. And I want to field a winner. I want to field a winner by any means necessary next year. And the guys that you were losing did not help you win football games in 2025. So why would I want to give them a raise for 2026?
I think that's a good point.
Like, this is about, we have a budget. You have to allocate funds appropriately. I am not going to allocate funds or give guys more money who did not help a team that went, let me check, 7-6.
Yeah. I mean, you went 4-4 in ACC play.
If that's too blunt or if that's too harsh, well, I'm sorry. We led the nation in retention, and what did that get us this year? Okay, so let's try something different.
Yeah.
It's what you should be doing.
Adapt or die.
Exactly. You know, we had so much of, well, Dad won't even use the portal. Well, don't use the portal. Well, he's going to now.
He has to.
Go follow every national report out there. All saying that Dad was playing the game this year. Has to. And it's a good thing. It's a transactional game, and that's what it is now. So go out there and go get some different people. I appreciate what people have given us, but you know what? At the end of the day, if you're not going to get your job done and help this program win football games and be at the upper echelon of this league, then I'm going to replace you with those who will help get us there. Because when I watch this team and then I go watch everybody else, you didn't have good enough Jimmys and Joes. So let's run off the ones that weren't good enough and bring in some ones that are. It's not an indictment on your program in 2026, players entering the portal like it may have been a few years ago.
No, it's not.
It's not an indictment on the program that guys are leaving, especially guys that you haven't seen play.
Texter gets in and says, if you're being realistic, maybe be real and accept that all of these quote-unquote subpar players might just be the Clemson reality. Now, I'll push back for a couple of reasons. Number one, you won the ACC and you were in the college football playoff in a 7-point game in the fourth quarter last year. Number two, people are leaving from the roster and you have a chance to get this flipped around with a roster overhaul. Look at Indiana. It's never been easier to flip a roster around, and it's never been easier to go from bad to good. That's the other part of this is like, yeah, Clemson feels like they're down right now. And yeah, they are down compared to what the standard looks like. But guess what? This sort of crazy world that we live in makes it easier to flip things around. Significantly easier. Like, I'm looking at national television right now, and Cam Newton, who is wearing one of the stupidest hats ever, which is irrelevant to the point. But Cam Newton's talking, and we're on ESPN. And the conversation is Indiana the team to beat right now in college football? And the headline reads, college football playoff quarterfinal, Indiana blows out number 9 Alabama 38-3. It's never been easier in this world of college football to get things right in a hurry and click the get out of jail free card button. And guess what? Has Dabo had some flaws in his past from a philosophical standpoint? I think it's fair to say yes, to take a step back and evaluate that now in real time. Like John said, you know, you tried the retention thing. It didn't necessarily work. Didn't live up to expectations this year. Didn't go the way that anybody had hoped or anticipated or would have wanted it to go. But with that being said, you are now at a point where you are in a necessity. You are in the necessity phase with the transfer portal. You have so many players that are departing, whether it be eligibility, whether it be transfer portal, whether it be NFL draft, whatever it may be, that it is necessary for you to go into the transfer portal and field a roster. And I think that that is a reason to be encouraged about what this next year and the years after could hold for Clemson. And that includes going and getting a quarterback and officially hiring an offensive coordinator and all of that. But Clemson fans that have been asking for change, you should be happier right now on January 2nd, 2026 than you've been. And guess what? Like, mass failure cannot come, or mass change cannot come without mass failure at certain junctures. That's the truth, and that's the reality. You want change? The worst thing that could have happened for Clemson this year would have been to lose in the first round of the college football playoff. Because then you're signifying that you might have been close, but you're not really close. I think that overall we're going to look back at the 2025 season, and it's going to be positive. And the reason I say that is because it's bringing change. And that's what everybody's asked for. They've asked for change for however long within this fan base about the portal philosophy and going and getting a quarterback and getting in these bidding wars. Okay, let's play ball. You got it. You got it. But you were never going to get this without having that failure to breed the change. That's how change works. You have to have something that changes with what the standard looks like to realize that you need to look in the mirror and make those changes on the back end. That's what's happening right now. You're going to be in the portal for 15-plus guys, dude, or else you're not going to field the roster. That's not going to happen.
Especially with how many texts did we get, Dabo, it's a failure this offseason if you don't go for 12 to 15 portal guys. You can't lead the nation in retention while also go out and pick whoever you want. You can't have your cake and eat it, too. Can't have a program full of all-in guys and also go out there and portal 12 to 15. Good riddance. Like, you didn't play. Have fun at the G5. I don't care.
For sure.
Hope you got your degree and maximized your time while you were here. But at the end of the day, I can't lose sleep or effort or energy or even care about those who choose to walk out the door. Because you did not help a team that wasn't even good. So let's go get players who are good to help this team. That's what I care about.
Before we take a quick break, and then we'll get to Dave in Simpsonville on the other side. It's cold weather season. You can enjoy the cozy nights. Make the most of the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas. Fort Hill Natural Gas has got you covered, whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, or firing up the grill. Natural gas is clean, it's cost-effective, and it's always there when you need it. During the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low by visiting FHNGA.com today. That is FHNGA.com today to score big on some savings. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the other side with Faxon and John. The second hour of the program will conclude right after this.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
At ATV Outfitters, they stock more ATVs, UTVs, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. They have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand, and they pride themselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Spend $75 or more and mention the Roar FM and receive either a cargo net, fender bag, or tow rope free of charge. Don't buy elsewhere or you'll both lose money. Come by ATV Outfitters located at 2485 Rutherford Road in Greenville.
Experience the Davis Services difference where quality meets reliability. Family owned, serving the upstate and western North Carolina since 1972, Davis Services is your go-to for all HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs. With decades of expertise, we ensure your home runs smoothly and efficiently, providing peace of mind for you and your family. Don't wait for problems to escalate. Call Davis Services today and let our skilled team handle it all. Call 864-432-1785 or visit our website, davisservicesinc.com today.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantyconfixit.com.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyde continues right here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in with us. We're talking Clemson football. We're talking transfer portal. We're talking OC. We're talking all of that. Texter gets in and says, please explain your logic of bringing Chad Morris back to Clemson. The only real success he has had before Clemson or since Clemson was at the high school level. He went 18-40 as a head coach, got fired at OC at Auburn after only one season. I think he is a horrible choice and career suicide for Dabo is what 018 says. First and foremost, Chad Morris is not the official hire yet. I am expecting for that to become official in the near future, but things change, and things are very fluid in this business of sports and can change literally at the drop of the hat and overnight. So I know, you know, what the discourse has been. I know what the internet has said. I know what the internet has showcased. I get all of that. It's not official yet, even with things trending that way. My logic would be, number one, I'm not making the hire. And that would not be my hire if I were making the hire, just to be fully transparent. But I do think that I am higher on the hire, H-I-G-H-E-R-H-I-R-E, in consecutive order there, than most in the fan base. Because I don't think the job is as attractive as people in the fan base think it is. And I do think that there is going to be an increased prioritization of success and instant success next year based on what the state of the program is after this year and how disappointing things were. So I don't think that this is like the Clemson has their pick of every OC in the country and Dabo's just running it back with Chad. I don't think that's what this is at all, if you want me to be honest. You don't have a quarterback. So that my logic for, I guess, defending the Morris hire or potential hire, if that's what you're getting at on the text line, would be that this isn't a very attractive job right now because your head coach has fired three coordinators in four seasons, two of which are offensive coordinators. The last offensive coordinator was the Broyles Award winner that everybody in the country wanted, and you won and done Streeter. And you haven't had a quarterback in 4 years outside of one season of Cade where he looked good, and you don't have a quarterback right now. So I just don't think that anybody's signing up to take this job like extremely happy about it or thinking that this is an extremely attractive situation when you don't have the most important position in football taken care of. That's my only logic here. And also, like, Chad had an immense amount of success here. I think Chad's the man. Seriously, Chad's the man. He's a great dude. I think he's a good football coach. I understand what the trepidation and the hesitation could be. Sometimes you got to get back to your instincts, as Sweeney said, and sometimes you got to get back to a comfort level. And if there's one thing that I don't worry about with Chad Morris, it's the fact that Clemson's going to have an identity. And I think you have lacked identity for four consecutive seasons since the departure of Tony Elliott. When you had Tony, you knew your identity. When you had Tony and Jeff, you knew your identity. When you had Chad, you knew your identity. You know what you're going to be about. You know what your bread and butter is going to be. You're going to do things well, and you're going to do some things poorly, as all coaches do. But at least you know. You go into a game, and you understand what you can anticipate to get out of that game from your coordinator. And that's not something I've been able to say about Clemson in a long, long time. Because Streeter and Riley, for whatever reasons, and I don't think all of it was their fault, both failed to cultivate an identity for the offensive side of this program. So I don't think this is an A-plus hire or even a good/great hire. I just don't think it's like the worst hire ever, as many seem to think it is.
So let's go back a year or so ago. Like, what was one of the main things that we said was one of the failures of Wes and why we're excited about Tom Allen is that he was mild-mannered and quiet. And did not, he was not demonstrative and got in people's faces.
Yeah.
Right? That was something we talked about a lot. Garrett Riley and Brandon Streeter are not those types of people. Chad Morris is. Chad Morris very much is. And I don't think it's a bad thing that this offense needs a little yelling at. Needs a little bit of a heavy hand. and not just being coddled to. I'm cool with it, man. I'm cool with it. Like, I agree with you. Would it be the hire that I would make today if I was the head coach? No. But I'm also not in the building. Like, I trust Coach Sweeney's instincts when he's saying he needs to get back to them, because they have done us very well here in Clemson. And if this is what his gut is telling him that he needs to do versus what everybody in the country told him to do when he went and got Garrett, then I am open-minded to the hire.
And let me bring up something and just kind of be brutally honest with the audience, okay? Everybody's issue, or I guess to generalize, the majority of the fan base's issue with Sweeney right now would be like a stubborn element in relation to the transfer portal. Who has a really good chance of getting through to Sweeney and potentially adapting and overhauling the personnel on this roster? I think it would be somebody that has a ton of equity in the bank and a good friend of his like Chad Morris. And I do think that's a part of why I would be in support of this. I think Chad Morris would go into the portal and get a transfer quarterback. That's another part of why I'm big time in support of this move, at least for a one-year stopgap to try and put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole here after going 7-6. If you're going to go get a quarterback in the transfer portal, I think Chad Morris would walk in day one and push Dabo Sweeney to go do that. And I think Clemson would have a transfer portal quarterback. So, I don't know. Let's get Jason in Columbia in here. 654 Roar is the number. Jason, good to hear from you.
Hey, guys, man. Happy New Year to both of you. Look, yeah, the Chad Morris thing, I'm kind of with you as far as it's definitely, he would not be my first choice. On the positive side, like you said, you would have an identity. You would have a strong voice. You know, there were always kind of rumors that Chad, in a joking manner, but not joking, would shut Dabo out of the offensive team meetings. And that's something that obviously Clemson fans have whispered for years, that, oh, Dabo's meddling. Dabo made this play call. Dabo did this on the goal line. That would not be the case with Chad Morris, okay? You would, as you have said, have a boss man, just like Tom Allen now, on defense. And I'm with you. If I look at the Chad Morris offense, which is the Gus Malzahn offense, essentially, you can't run it with a quarterback that we have on campus right now, unless Denson, they feel safe that Denson is a developed passer. And so far, we haven't gotten indications that that is true. So it almost does kind of force your hand. You would have to go into the portal. You know, one thing that concerns me, Faxon and John, and I'm curious if you guys remember this discourse, there was a lot of talk. So obviously when Chad left, we still ran the Clemson offense, as Dabo called it, which was basically Chad's offense with Jeff Scott and Tony. But even when we were having success in making the CFP the last couple of years with Trevor, do you guys remember there was a lot of discourse about why doesn't Clemson have wide receivers running wide open like other teams do? And that was why people were so excited about, you know, Riley bringing in the air raid. And obviously, to his credit, I think we all agree, Riley did have wide receivers frequently running open for whatever his other issues were, but we didn't have a quarterback that would put the ball on him a lot of the time. And I remember specifically Dan Orlovsky, who generally is very complimentary of Clemson and Dabo. I remember when Trevor was here in 2019, 2020, him doing like segments on ESPN where he's breaking down. You remember there was a lot of talk that Clemson ran a basic offense and that Trevor in some ways wasn't prepared for the NFL because we ran a basic offense at Clemson. I'm just curious, A, do you guys remember that talk? And B, is that something that concerns you as far as the Chad coming back?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't have trepidations with Chad coming back for a litany of reasons. And I think that the fan base, you know, has some validity to their points that the guy hasn't called plays in 4 or 5 years or whatever it is at the collegiate level. And I think that that is a concern. But Jason, to be honest with you, man, like, the bar is not high right now for what success looks like on offense after this year. You had like the 62nd ranked total offense in the country. You were outside the top 100 in rushing offense. I think you are upgrading pretty much regardless of who your play caller is, provided they have full reign to install their offense. And to the point you made back at the beginning of the phone call with Chad kind of putting his foot down against Sweeney, I think that respect and having that long-term relationship is something that's important, especially for a guy like Dabo Sweeney. I think Dabo is still a great coach. I think Dabo still has a lot of great positive things that he brings to a program as the leader of this program, but I also think he needs the right people around him to succeed at the level that people want him to succeed at, if that makes sense. And I think Chad Morris is a guy that had an immense amount of success with Dabo Swinney in the past, that he's going to bring an identity to this football team, and that can work in unison with the other coaches on this staff to create the best product offensively for Clemson. Again, would it be my number one hire? No. Do I think it's an A-plus hire? No. Do I have some concerns with Chad coming back? Yeah. But I also am probably more in support of it than the majority of the fan base, partially because I think Chad coming back signifies that there's a portal quarterback coming with him, and I think that's the number one need for this Clemson football team headed into next season.
Yeah, I agree with you there, definitely. And, you know, it is interesting, too, because there has been some speculation that obviously his son is trying for another year of eligibility at Virginia. And so I've seen some people mention that as a possibility. And I just can't imagine Dabo doing that to Tony Elliott. But, hey, if he does that, then you know that Dabo has finally hit his villain arc and he's being ruthless, which is needed, in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, and look, to me, Chad Morris is one of the pivotal moments in Clemson football. He's one of the most important names. He hasn't had that God-tier success that Brent Venables has gone on to have. But to me, I've always grouped them together in my mind as far as they're the ones that jump-started this dynasty under Dabo that he built. And part of it was, as you said, he just brought a clear identity. And it is interesting, Faxon, because you've heard a lot of talk in recent years that maybe tempo in college football has not been as valuable because of the substitution rules and different things in the modern game. But man, when I was watching the CFP this weekend, or it wasn't a weekend, last couple of days, there were definitely some teams out there that were putting the hammer down and forcing the issue with tempo. And so that did give me, that was just something interesting to reflect on that yes. And there have been times that at Clemson, obviously, the last several years, we've said Cade looks better when he's running with tempo because he doesn't have to think. And maybe Cade wasn't possible of processing that information quickly for an entire game. But it does. I am interested if Chad is the guy to see how much the concept of tempo comes back to Clemson.
I would love for Clemson to run tempo. And I think a big part of Clemson's issue the last couple of years is they have not been running enough plays. Like, it sounds very simple until it doesn't. You haven't been running enough plays to be successful offensively the last couple of seasons. So, again, another part of why I think I'm more in the pro-Chad camp than most, I think Chad has showcased that he is adaptable as a coach and adaptable to the players that are going to be on his roster. And there is something very attractive to me about the chance for him to handpick a quarterback and to go get some skill guys and some personnel on the offensive line and tight end, whatever it may be and whatever he sees fit, that are going to fit what his system is, and then he can put those guys in the best position to succeed. So again, I'm not just blind shilling for Sweeney or Chad or anything along the sorts, but I do think that things could be a lot worse than this, and I also don't think that this is the same coaching search that you were having 3 years ago with Garrett Riley, where you probably could have your pick of whatever coordinator you wanted, and you went with GR, and it didn't work out. That's not the scenario or the conversation you're having in 2026, which is why I think I'm a little bit more at ease than most.
Yeah, it is interesting, too. You know, obviously, he runs Gus's offense. I mean, he studied under Gus back in his high school days, and then worked with Gus at Auburn, I think, for that one season, and then came into town for the Florida State game this year to help Clemson prepare to face Gus's offense. And, you know, I know Florida State didn't have a great season, obviously, but, I mean, there's no denying that Gus Malzahn with Castellano as a mobile quarterback, he jump-started that Florida State offense majorly. Now, I know Florida State racked up some massive yards against a couple of patsies, but they also did it to Alabama. They did it to, I mean, there's no denying that Malzahn had a successful effect on that offense overall relative to where they've been the last couple of seasons. So this offense still can be effective if you have the right personnel, which is obviously the big question for us.
Yeah, I think that's the big question right now. And to be honest with you, I'm vastly more concerned about the personnel and where that's at right now on this roster than whoever is the coach for all the offense next year, if you want me to be honest with you, Jason. I don't think that your roster right now is anywhere near good enough to compete with Miami and what they are putting on tape next year as far as lines of scrimmage play goes, as far as potential quarterback play goes, because you have to imagine they're going to be a suitor for one of these big-time dollar-sign QBs as well. And you're playing catch-up, as far as I'm concerned, to the Miamis of the world within the ACC. If you want to get back to the mountaintop, you have to play ball like the teams that are currently on the mountaintop. And that is the number one priority for Clemson this offseason, is to be in the transfer portal, to go get a quarterback that is going to help make this a serious offensive unit, and to have a coordinator that can accentuate his skill sets.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it will be interesting, because Chad, he termed his offense smash mouth spread. And I would say one of the few criticisms we had with Chad is that even though we did run the ball well with him, both as the running back and quarterback run game, you know, there were times where, I guess fans kind of felt like he got away from the run a little too prematurely, frequently, unfortunately, against South Carolina, but that's fine. And so it will be interesting to see if it is him. Obviously, that was an issue with Garrett Riley, and that was something Dabo would harp on, especially this season. So it would be nice to see a more of a commitment to the run, and I know you guys have been all over that. We got to get this run game going, mm-hmm. and we got to get an offensive line developed to where we can lean on people, as you're saying, with the CFP teams.
Would love for my football team to look like Miami. I know that much. Jason, we're up against a break. I appreciate you checking in, and best of luck to your Niners this upcoming weekend. Full transparency, I'll be rooting against them.
Hey, man, we might end up on the road in Philly if we lose, so I'll be rooting bigly.
And Jason, I say that because I just don't want to play the Rams or the Seahawks. The Seahawks own us. The Seahawks own our soul. We haven't beat the Seahawks since I was like 7 years old, so I would rather play y'all, who we usually split them 50-50. You think that's fair to say between the Eagles and the Niners? I'd rather have a 50-50 split than have to play McVay or have to play the Seahawks, who own us. So nothing personal. Best of luck this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Of course. 654 Roar is the number. We'll take Byron from Greenville's call after a quick break. Texter says tempo is a sustainable long-term all game. Chad couldn't cut the new substitution rules. I think he'd figure it out this offseason. And I also think he's helped more than you realize the last couple of years. But I agree with your notion that tempo isn't something that you're running every play, every game. I think selective tempo, the teams that use selective tempo are the ones that are most effective with it. And I think Chad would be able to do that. Final hour of the program here on a Friday to start 2026 with Faxon and John right after this.
5.5 Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT AM 1560 Cowpens, 97. 97-